I want to try just to minister not only devotionally, but I want to try to help. After the passing of Kennedy, I know a few of our youth, young people, had various concerns and worries and fears, but not only just for them, but for all of us. And we want to try and alleviate those worries and fears and anxieties this morning through the Word of God. Some of this I have mentioned before, some I won't have mentioned before. I have a Sunday morning message there for 2 weeks, sitting now for the second week, and I just don't feel it's the time to bring it yet. So I'm just going to open up and we're going to go as the Lord leads us this morning. Will you turn with me to Psalm 56? Psalm 56. This morning we're going to look at the subject of faith over fear. Faith over fear. Psalm 56. We want to read the little opening title of it. And then when we read that, what we'll do is we'll just read it as we go down it instead of reading it and bringing out points. And I'm going to mention a few points for you to think about. Think about when fear comes. Think about when you're troubled. And understand this, we all have fear at times. All of us can have fear at times. The opening title says, "To the chief musician upon Jonathelem Rechakim, Michtam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath." Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank you that you have given us a testimony who know your Son and are saved. We thank you, Lord, that through the years you have not only supplied, but you've kept. And we thank you, Lord, for your hand in our lives. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, take what, Lord, I would bring to your people and help me to rightly divide this word of truth that they may, Lord, find strength and help. And Lord, especially for our young people this morning, we pray that you would help them to draw near to God as you have said you would draw near to them. Glorify your Son this morning and remember those who are ill. Remember Martin, Lord, with this pneumonia in his lung. We pray for him. We ask you, Lord, that you would raise him up at this time. We ask the Lord that you touch him and help him and heal him. We also think, Lord, of Grace. Whatever's wrong with her, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would touch her with your mighty power. And we're thinking of little Jessica Louise and Ronnie there. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch each and every one of them and bless them. We ask you, Lord, for those who are here who need a touch from you, a word from you, in a special way, Lord, that you would move and speak to us in the only way that you can. And Lord, there are still those who are on holidays. Strengthen them today. Bless them, refresh them, bring them home safely again at the right time. So to that end, Father, bless the children, the leaders down at Children's Church and in the creche. And Lord, we pray that all would be done for your glory. Help me, Lord, now to speak well of your Son. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. To the chief musician upon Jonathelem Rechakim, the Michtam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. And the term that is at the top of this title, Jonathelem Rechakim. Many theologians have tried to work it out to a T, but they can't, and they say this is the best explanation for it. It means and gives the idea of a dove which has flown into a dangerous territory. Or the dumb dove far away. David likens himself to this dove. David is likening himself to this dove when he ran away because Saul tried to kill him. And it says that he was afraid of Saul and he ran for fear. And then when he ran, we're told he ran into Gath, to the Philistine, to Achish. And that was the king, if you want, of Gath, of the Philistines. And when he went there, it says he left Saul and ran for fear But when he got to a church, by the time he got there, it said he was sore, S-O-R-E, sore afraid. His fear had increased. It didn't get better because he ran away. It didn't get better because he couldn't face it. It didn't get better because he would try to pretend it wasn't there. And it didn't get better, certainly, by running to the enemy rather than standing strong in faith and trusting God. It didn't get better. It got worse. He was sore afraid of Achish. And look, we'll not turn to it. If you want to read that, you can read that in 1 Samuel 21. How he ran for fear of Saul, but he was sore afraid of Achish. Now the word michtam there, michtam, gives the idea of something that has become more permanent. For example, an engraving. If you win at sports or whatever, and you win a medal or a trophy, and you take it to be engraved, and your name's there, or the date's there, whatever it was there, the engraving is in the metal, you can't wash it off, you can't polish it off, you can't rub it away, it's engraved. And that's the idea of a michtam. So David now is saying, there's a something that happened in my life I'll never forget. I was afraid, then I ran thinking I was doing the right thing, but I ran into the enemy camp rather than standing trust in God, and I ran to Achish, the king of Gath. And in that, you'll read that David, because he was sore afraid coming before Achish, the king of Gath, he started to spit down himself. And he kept spitting that the spittle runs down his beard. And as the spittle's running down his beard, he gets down, as it were, as if he's a dog, and starts to claw on the posts of the door. He was feigning it because the fear drove him to do that which was not rational thinking. And that's what fear does. It drives you to do something that takes you out of your rational thinking. And your thinking is always the worst. It's always the doom and gloom. And David went, and his irrational thinking was shown by spitting down his beard, clawing at the post of the door. And Achish said to his men, is this David the one they sing about in Israel? He could hardly believe it when he looked at this man. This can't be the one that they were singing about, because Saul became jealous of David because of his prowess on the battlefield. And they used to sing when they come home from battle, Saul has slain his thousands, and Saul's chest was puffed up as he rides in back into town again. Saul has slain his thousands, and as David comes behind him, and David is tens of thousands. He became jealous. And that jealousy drove Saul mad, that he tried to kill David. And hence in our psalm, he's looking back. He's thinking how he ran for fear. Then he became sore afraid. And now he's thinking back, and it's engraved in his thinking. This happening was such a bad experience for David. It's forever in his heart. It's etched right into his soul, so to speak. And David uses the word michtam, which gives the idea of something engraved or more permanent. And hence David is saying here, I was like a dumb dove. I flew off. Yeah, you were dumb, David, but that's not the good word for it. David, you done something right out of faith, not in faith. You ran away, David, when you should have trusted God, and you allowed fear to drive you somewhere where you would usually never go. And in fact, the Philistines were the arch enemy. David had slain many thousands of their people, and yet he runs to them rather than stand and see what God would do. All because of fear. F-E-A-R. You know, there's the little euphemisms that people would try to, and look, some of them are okay, for example, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. That's fear. And look, and that can happen. But that's not all fear is. And I want especially you young people to understand that fear isn't just always false evidence appearing real. Fear is real. Because there's real things come to cause you fear. So it's not always false evidence appearing real. And look, I know it sounds good, and at times it can be true, but it's not always true. There's a fight or a flight mechanism built into us where we either fight or we go to flight. David went to flight, even though he knew with God on his side, he could fight. David writes about it. For by thee, he says to the Lord, have I run through a troop of soldiers. Can you imagine him in battle? He's hacking away at them. All this enemies around him, and David's standing, hacking away through them. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God, have I leaped over a wall. He said, I was able to get over a wall that was I could never have scaled before, all because of God's presence and anointing in my life. He says, by my God, I have taken a bow of steel and broken it with my hands. And now, it shows us that the best of men are only men at their best. And all of us can have fear. You know, whenever you think of what has happened, and I understand what has happened with Kennedy's a big shock at a wee girl of 15 passing away in her sleep, and it's terrible. But I want you to know that's not the normal. That is not the normal, especially young person. It's not the normal. That's why it was not only a big shock, but that's why it made headlines all over. Because that's not the normal. And we need to realize then, my fear would have me afraid to sleep because of this. What if it was me? But normally that doesn't happen. You know, fear, there's a healthy fear, fight or flight sometimes. You know, there's a healthy fear and there's an unhealthy fear. Let me explain it like this. A healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. So, if I come to the road, and it's a busy road, and I stop at the footpath, the curbside, and I am looking up and down to make sure there's no traffic. You know why? Because I don't want to get knocked down. Because I don't want to get knocked down. When I was young and a wee boy, just able to walk or run, I probably would have run across that because I had no care and had no fear. But it was dangerous. That was true. I should have that fear in the sense where let us have the caution to look up and down that we don't get knocked down. That's a healthy fear. An unhealthy fear is if you come to that footpath and to the curbside and you're looking up and down and even whenever the road's empty, you have such a fear to cross to the other side, you never do it. That's unhealthy. That's an unhealthy fear. That's the fear that grips the hearts of many people. And maybe this morning, whether young or old, you've had that fear. And it's become unhealthy to you. Well then, we need to look at the scripture this morning. You can say, Pastor, do you ever have any fears? Yes. Tell the truth. I'm a man. I'm a human being. Yes. And what do? Well, after I allow it to carry me down that wrong road a bit, I realize this is not of God. And I get into the Word. And I see the God whom I love and serve, I trust in this. And this is where my strength is, and my hope is, and I'm sure yours too, and I trust it is. To the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Reacher Kim Mitch Tam of David. See this term, the dumb dove. You know, in the northern kingdom of Israel, it was called Ephraim for, also was one of the names for it after, I'll not go into it, the tribe of Ephraim, and it was the head tribe over the northern kingdom. But the Lord, and because Ephraim ran away from God and started trusting in the Assyrians, who actually came and overtook them and carried them away captive, that which they trusted in for fear of other enemies, came and devoured them afterwards. It came and destroyed them afterwards. They trusted in the Assyrians. And the Lord says, you're trusting in the Assyrians rather than in me. And those Assyrians whom they put their trust in to help them with other enemies, they tried to cozy up to the enemy. You know, they will say, the enemy of my enemy is my best friend. The enemy of my enemy is my best friend. But you know, even the enemy of your enemy is not your best friend. Not when you're a saved, blood-washed, born-again Christian. Your best friend's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your best friend. And you know, the Lord says one time to the house of Israel under Ephraim, he calls it Ephraim, he says, Ephraim is a silly dove without heart. Ephraim is a silly dove without heart. And the word for to be a silly dove then without heart is the word patha. And it's a strange word because it means you have now went away, you've been silly like a dove, easily scared off, easily frightened away, rather than trusting in me. And the word patha means your heart is now open to every attack of the enemy. And listen, Christian, this morning, see, the further you allow fear to control you. Look, the last few years was all drummed into us. It was fear, 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 fear. And people were afraid, afraid, afraid. Churches were afraid. Pastors were afraid. Christians were afraid. Non-Christians were afraid. Everybody was afraid. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That's why throughout that time we said, don't be afraid. Because the enemy gets in. Don't go down that road of fear. And I know I don't want to go off title or topic, but they're trying to bring the fear back again. Don't allow it. Don't receive it. Do not receive that fear. You know, it means they're wide open, that is, Ephraim, to every mental, every moral attack and sin of their enemy. That's what happened. That's what God said, and that's what happened. So verse 1. David says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Now notice, this is a human enemy. It can be a mental enemy, as your own mind. It can be a spiritual enemy. It can be a human enemy coming through another spirit. Whatever that enemy is, that fear. And David is looking back and he's saying, Lord, this is who I was and the way I was. Have mercy on me, O God. And then he calls him Most High. David's already realized where the victory is. This is what man is. Here's where my fears are. And then he says, but you're the Most High. So do you believe that God's the Most High this morning? Church, do you? Yes. Then why would you fear? Why would you fear? And what if it was my time to go, and the Lord was going to call me, and I was to leave this scene of time? Or what if it was yours? Would you let the fear grip you? I'd say all of us would have a bit of thinking to do. I read this at the graveside on Friday. And I'm sure you'll all know it. It's Romans 8. Verse 35. Listen to the apostle now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, that is war even. And then Paul likens for himself and where he is in it. He says, as it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now take note, for I am persuaded. There is the crux. Are you persuaded? Get persuaded that he is the Most High. You have to have that relationship with him. And young person, sometimes we feel that we're so afraid of these things, and older people too, because we are distant from God. Our relationship, you might be saved, but your relationship with God is not, well, what it should be. Your relationship is tried. And maybe you've failed, but yet you belong to him. But the idea is to have a walking, talking, conscious, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what the fear comes, there might be the spark of it, there might be the sign of it, but in the totality of it, faith will conquer the fear. Faith overcomes fear. And then he says, for I am persuaded, look, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul can't list really any more for you here. This life, the next life, that which is natural, supernatural, physical or spiritual, what was behind us, what's before us, what's in the now, what's in the heavens, what's upon the earth, angels and principalities, powers, he says, nothing, none of it will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, when we are saved, we can't be separated. But listen, when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, when you know him and have a relationship, you'll be aware of that no matter what happens. No matter what comes to your mind. No matter what the attack is. Well, Lord, I belong to you and I'm trusting in you. And so in our psalm, David says that man would swallow him up, but he calls the Lord Most High. Now listen, then, if you're writing, here he is contemplating fear. You ready? Contemplating fear. Part one. This little first point. Contemplating fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David knows, look, there's times when he'll be afraid. David knows. Verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Contemplating fear. Now here's the thing. We can all, none of us need to wipe things out, stick our head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich, pretend nothing's happening, and look, sure, even if I hide here, nothing's going to happen. You can't do that. You can't live life like that. And you can't live life in fear. Or you ruin life by worrying about tomorrow so much you miss the blessing of today. You miss what God has you for you today by worrying so much about tomorrow or the next week. And that's why in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, why take ye thought for the morrow? And he asked it, I think, off memory about six times in that chapter. Why take ye thought? Why take ye thought? And he points out the birds of the air, and he points out the flowers of the field, and he says, Solomon, they were more glorious than Solomon in all of his glory. He says, well, yet the Lord clothed them and he fed the birds. He says, what are you worrying about? Because you're a child of God. So, in Matthew 6, the thought is, why take ye thought? Isn't, well, you can't think about, you know, why you go to work in the morning or you're going to school in the morning, and I'll not think about what I'm going to have for my lunch, or I'm not going to have my overalls ready if you're going to work or whatever you wear or whatever. That's not what he means. It's anxious thought. Why are you being anxious about it? Is God not your Father who will look after you? Is God not your Father who will supply your every need in Christ Jesus? Is God not your Father who has brought you thus far and kept you so long? Is God not your Heavenly Father who has given and provided everything you need? He's met your needs, but not your greeds. And so the Lord's saying this, and here we can contemplate fear. We have to be real with things. Look at the problem and be real with it. But then look to the Most High God, your Heavenly Father, and be real with Him. So what time I am afraid I will trust in thee? He's contemplating fear. It's like Moses being sent. Remember when he's at the backside of the desert and he sees the burning bush? And eventually he goes over and he takes his shoes from off his feet for the place where on thou standest is holy ground, says the voice out of the burning bush. It's the Lord out there. And the Lord says, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. He may serve me. They may serve me. And do you know what Moses says? He starts a fight in his head. Fear starts to come in. Anxiety comes into him. And all of a sudden his head is in a mess. His brain is in a tailspin and he doesn't know what to do. If they ask me who has sent me, but if they say this, what am I going to say? And if they come at me like that, what am I going to do? That's the way Moses is with the Lord. And the Lord just says, tell them I am that I am has sent thee. In other words, I am the eternal God. Not I was or I will be, but I am this very present tense. And David here is saying, what time I am afraid, in that moment, I'll trust you, Lord. I will trust in thee. So it's contemplating fear, and we can all contemplate it. It's how far you allow yourself to go down the road. Secondly, we have challenging fear. Challenging fear. Verse 4, please, of Psalm 56. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Here's his fear is about a man. These men around him who are maybe going to kill him or whatever. So it's a real fear. So whatever your fear is, challenge it. Listen, whatever's rapping your door right now, or whatever's been rapping your door for a week or a month or whatever, a season, fear, worry, anxiety, all of those things to pull you down and you lose the joy of the Lord, use the joy of your salvation, all of those things, fear, worry, anxiety, and so on. Whatever's rapping your door, send faith out to answer it. Send faith out to answer it. You know what? Lord, I don't know how much faith I've got, but I'm trusting you. Well, the Lord says if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. And I know it says move mountains and pluck the trees out and cast them into the sea, but it doesn't mean literally. By the way, that really means the mountains in the Bible really means kingdoms. Pray against wicked governments and so on. And faith will tear them down. But no matter what it is, Lord, I'm trusting you. You know, Pastor Glenn mentioned about round the cross. And even in this psalm, we see the psalmist in the spirit of prophecy, if you want, sitting in the midst of all this, and there is the form of the cross around him. Let me show you. Be merciful unto me, O God, right? In Luke 18, please. Now, for time's sake, we're not going to read all of this. And let your eye run down. This is the publican the Pharisee. And we say a publican, we're not talking about a man who owns a bar, a pub, tax collector, despised. And the Pharisee, and let your eye run down to verse 10, two men stood up in the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood up, prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much of his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, sinner. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 8, please. Hebrews chapter 8. This chapter, again, is of the new covenant. Looking back at it from our Lord Jesus down on the cross. And if you will turn your eyes down to verse 12. Let me just get it. The Lord says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And now he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So this term, to be merciful unto me, O God, it gives the idea, how do I find mercy, O God? Where can I find mercy, O God? How can I find mercy, O God, in the midst of all of this? Where is it? And the exact same term for this is used in those two. When one man goes up to the temple and comes down, the same way he went, the Pharisee. And the other one goes up and he is a publican and he comes down forgiven. This is the exact same term in the Hebrew as the Greek text. And then, because it's talking about around the sacrifice and the cross work of Christ. And then, when we go to Hebrews, talking about that sacrifice and that cross work of Christ, the Lord says, I will be merciful to you. Now, if you and I, whatever trouble, or even if we've fallen and we've found ourselves in sin, if we're asking God to be merciful, surely we must believe that he is full of mercy. Why call him merciful if you don't think he's full of mercy? Even where you are at this time, whatever condition you're in. But in verse 4 of Psalm 56, the psalmist here, David, he's challenging his fear. Where will I find mercy and where will I find help? How can I find mercy? Listen, young person, see if you haven't already been there and you're not regularly there. You just get on with your teenage life. Get back to the cross. Start reading about the blood of Christ. Start reading about the sacrifice of Christ for your sin. Get back to the cross and there you'll find your help, your comfort and your strength. There you'll find the mercy of God. Get back to it. And every time I'm struggling, you might say, Pastor, do you struggle? Absolutely, I struggle. Absolutely. You know what I do? See, when I open and I'm going, what am I going to read today? Where am I going today, Lord? What am I going to do? I open up and read about the cross. That's where everything hinges together. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. It means I don't have to be afraid. It means if I lay my head down one night and don't waken up again, I don't have to be afraid. I have a relationship with him. I've been saved by his grace, kept by his power, washed in his blood. And if I put my head down on a pillow and I don't waken up again, and I'm saying that with care because this Porter family have went through a terrible time and are going through. But I'm saying that I know that if I put my head on the pillow, And the same is to happen to me. I'll not be separated from him. I won't be separated from the love he has for me. And all of us, but especially young people, have a relationship with the Lord. Get into relationship with him. And one thing I can say, I know we said plenty about it, and this is the honest truth, because for a young person, I was dazzled, to be honest. Went into a room and I seen all that her daddy spoke about. She had a living faith in Christ. I mean, she had a real living, you want to see in her room? Her Bible sitting there and the post-it notes with scriptures on it. And it's there. She's fell asleep in peace. She's never away from the love of Christ. And that's why we should all put our head on our pillows at night. I trust this morning you're saved. And you can go to bed, lay down in peace, knowing that should something that happen to you, you will enter his presence. Relationship with Christ is so important, not only for joy in this life, but relationship. I'm talking about living for Christ, walking, talking, living, breathing, heart pulsating, passionate, living Christ. A relationship with him. It's not only important for now, but it's that which is important for your peace to bring you in through eternity. And you can live in peace now. It's called the peace of God. Let me move quickly and I'm going to close soon. So verse 4 is challenging fear. Let your eye run down, please. If you will. To verse 8, please. Thou tellest my wanderings. Of course he did. He seen you when you didn't trust and ran away to Achish, the king of Gath. Made a fool of yourself. Ruined your testimony, David. Unbelief entered your heart and fear took over and hence you ran away and ruined your testimony, David. Of course he sees your, tells your wanderings. And David's going, I know, I know. You know the wonderful thing is, even though he let the Lord down, he let himself down, he let his testimony down, the Lord still loved him. The Lord still loved him. And listen, the Lord still loves you, brother. And the Lord still loves you, sister. Maybe you have let him down, yourself down, your testimony down or whatever. The Lord still loves you. And he says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. There's his answer. This I know, for God is, what is it? For me. Even though he'd done all of these things, even though he let himself, the Lord, and his testimony witness down, spat down his beard like a mad dog, clawing at the door posts, laughed at by the enemy. In fact, the enemy didn't even want him. It just threw him out of his presence. The enemy goes, this? You know what the wonderful thing is? The devil looks at all of these after he destroys your life. He goes, look at this. Who would want him? He looks at all of these and who would want her? And the Lord says, I do. I love them. I've bought them with my blood. I do. Brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful Savior. Thirdly, you have conquering fear. Conquering fear. Verse 11. In God, in fact, let's read verse 10 just to, for the continuity of it. In God will I praise his word. There's the answers. In the Lord will I praise his word. Read the word and say, Lord, I believe this. That you'll neither leave me nor forsake me. I praise you for that.
Lord, I'm reading here that nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Lord, I believe that. I'm praising you for it. Thank you for that. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. Now you notice, conquering, I will not be afraid. Refuse to be afraid. Refuse to be afraid. You know why? Well, we've read it. God is for you in verse 9. And in God you're praising his word to you. In verse 10. In God you've put your trust in verse 11. And then, I will not be afraid. His fear was what man can do unto me. You need to say, whatever that is, as I said earlier, has knocked your door. Send faith the answer and say, I will not be afraid. I will not. I refuse to be afraid of the thoughts in my head. I refuse to be afraid of the negativity that's coming my way. I refuse to be afraid. He says, it's easier. I know it's easier said than done. But that's why I'm saying, get back to the cross. If you need to repent of it, then repent of it. If you need to get back to the cross and plead it anew, then plead it anew. If you need to get back onto the cross and sit there until the Holy Spirit says you can move on in your walk now, then sit at the cross every moment of every hour, of every day. Get back when you're waking up. Read the scriptures. Talk to the Lord about it. Praise God that he's washed you in his blood. That you belong to him. That you're no longer your own. But you're bought with a price. Even the precious blood of Christ. I refuse to be afraid. So now you're conquering fear. Lastly, you'll have confidence and no fear. You'll be without fear. It says here, verse 13. Let's read 12 sure as well. Thy vows are upon me. I'm glad I read that just for that. Father, your vows are upon me. You call me your own. Your vows are upon me. You said I'm yours for all eternity. Your vows are upon me, Father. You said that I'm forgiven of all my sin. Your vows are upon me, Father. You said you won't leave me nor forsake me. Your vows are upon me, Father. You've told me that you'll bring me into eternity and you'll take me by the hand and hold me, that you will walk me through the valley of the shadow of death, that I may fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff are with me. Your vows are upon me, so I'm going to believe you and I will praise you in your word. I'll praise you for your word. I'll praise you because what your word says, why believe it? And all of a sudden you realize it and you say, you're not afraid. I said this in the home on Friday. We had a wee service there before we came here. And then I had another wee service up at the grave. And Pastor Glenn was with me and he read Psalm 23. I brought a couple of wee thoughts on it. And I says, you know, see the child of God, especially the one with a testimony like Kennedy had, see the child of God, they can say as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, what he says. He says, Lord, I anointest my head with oil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What, even when you've passed into death? Yeah, because this is what I said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David, to us, is speaking to us like on a horizontal level. To the people of his day and through the spirit of eternal word to you and I. And I says, even if Kennedy could speak, should have said this.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But then David looks heavenward, looks Christward. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God would anoint your head with oil, your cup overflows. You're blessed, even in death. Listen, when you and I enter the veil and we close our eyes here, guess whose face we see next? The face of Christ. I told someone this the other day. We can debate theology and try and work God out. But see, when you see him face to face, there's no more debating theology. For he is the embodiment of it. And we'll know it all. Notice this. We let the children know to come up, please. Thank you. Here it is. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are God, O God, are thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. Notice, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Here's confidence. No fear. Faith over fear. Confidence, no fear. And do you have the confidence, brother? That's what's wrong. Many Christians don't have a relationship. Sunday's about as much as they do. Maybe even every other Sunday or every now and again. But that's religion. Relationship is walking with him. I read this thing one time and it said, religion is sitting in church thinking about fishing. Relationship is when you're sitting fishing thinking about God. Meaning you can be in church and your mind's everywhere else, but you could even be during the week away down, sitting on a boat on a lake and all you're doing is talking to the Lord the whole time. That's relationship. And it's that type of relationship. Listen, whenever I was working in secular work, I used to be working at all sorts of jobs I'd done. But if I was in a factory working or a store working or whatever, I used to see nobody about and used to walk down the back of the store and just say, Lord, I just want to tell you I love you. I'm way back down again to do my work. I used to do it all the time. I just want to tell you I love you, Lord. I used to go out at lunchtime. I worked for a while in a company in Carrickfergus. And I used to go out at lunchtime and sit and read my Bible and eat my lunch and just talk to the Lord in the car all of lunchtime. And then the Lord rebuked me one time and says, go do that in there with them. So I went in, all the boys are all sitting around and they're all eating their lunch and carrying on. I get the Bible out, big one like that. I'm sitting and the slagging I got, and I remember one day a guy got a bit aggressive with me. And I says, have you ever read it? He says, no. I says, you read that and believe it. I says, they'll change your heart and take you to eternity. Sitting at my lunch. Every day. They used to start looking for it, you know. What are you going to do today? I used to sit there and go, Father, thank you for this food. I love you, Lord. Don't be ashamed, brother, sister. After all he is to us and done for us. I think I told you this before. I got this minister. I was driving a taxi at one time, you know. Got this minister, as we call her on. I was driving him down, not say where it was, wasn't far from here. And I ended up chatting to him the way down. He was a Presbyterian minister, or he said he was. And he's in the front seat. When he goes to get out, he's one leg out and one leg in. And I just grabbed him slightly by the arm. Now, excuse me. And he turned to me. There's a man with his collar. I thought he was going to be the same heart and spirit.
He says, do you love him? Do you love him? I love him. And he looked at me and done this. And he went, like, horrified. He got out of the car, slammed the door and walked on. Relationship with Christ. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus. No matter what comes your way, that relationship will be your stay. That's your stay. And as the hymn writer said, and say when the death dew lie cold on my brow, if ever I've loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Because there's coming a day, brothers and sisters, should the Lord tarry, that one out of every one will be in that condition, in that position. And if you love him now, you're going to need to know you love him then. If I've ever loved you, Lord, is when the veil of the curtain of eternity is opening and I'm about to enter in. Lord, if I've ever loved you, I love you now. Into the unknown. And that's why you don't be afraid when you're in relationship with Christ. Brothers and sisters and young people, get back the passion. Get the fire of God in your bones, in your belly, in your spirit. How do you get it? Go and spend time with him. I'll tell you, he changes lives. God bless you this morning. Time's flowing. The children haven't made their way up yet. Let's, group, would you come up, please?